What you're watching in the process now is actually a sermon illustration about serving in the church when you don't have your gifts, because I have technology planned for this morning. Technology is not my gift, so you're going to see me fumble in a minute. That's why, but we're going to keep going because... because that's what I think God wants us to see and do this morning. So, you do what you got to do. You'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. All right. These past few weeks, we have been focusing all on the Holy Spirit. And the first week, we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit and how, as believers, we can tap into that power in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Last week, we talked about comfort and conviction. Throw those guys up there. Comfort and conviction, and how those two things in our lives from the Holy Spirit can actually prompt us into action. Very often, action within our own church, action within our own family, action in our relationships. And this morning, we're talking about spiritual gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. And the topic of spiritual gifts is always an attention grabber in the church. Somehow, whenever we talk about spiritual gifts, people tend to sit up and cock their heads so they can see, all right, I'm going to pay attention now. It's interesting to us, spiritual gifts. So why is that? I believe it's for a couple of reasons. First reason I think we get so interested in spiritual gifts is because typically we are self-centered people. It's my self-centered icon up there. We talked a lot about our sinful nature last week, and how that's always fighting within us, the Spirit of God, right? We looked at Galatians 5, and we saw, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear, very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, it keeps going, drunkenness, wild parties, and my favorite, other. And the other category that's in there, right? Because we can throw a whole lot of our sinful nature into that other. And I think it's our selfish ambition that likes to talk about ourselves. We like to think about and kind of ponder on what special gifts do I have, right? That's our selfish ambition and our sinful nature that makes the idea of spiritual gifts appealing to us. So we want to hear about it. I think also it's really appealing to us because many of us are our kids at heart. And who doesn't love the idea of gifts, right? My twins this week, Eli and Sam, had a birthday this week, and they were, thank you, 7 years old, and they were a constant reminder this week of how much we love gifts, especially special effects lightsabers that light up and have their own sound effects and that are way more expensive than the lightsabers they got last year for Christmas. Although they were at one time satisfied with those gifts, right? They had their lightsabers that just extended and they could throw them down and they'd come out. They loved them. They were very happy and excited about those. Till they saw one day online these things and they're like, oh, I gotta have that. And so I think sometimes our jealousy can also drive us to want a particular gift and a particular spiritual gift. What's out there? I gotta have that one. That one sounds so exciting to me. I want that. So, is it okay to desire spiritual gifts? Yeah, I mean, actually, it's more than okay. Scripture tells us we should desire it. 1 Corinthians 12:31. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And again, 1 Corinthians 14:1. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. We should desire them. We should want them. It is good to desire the gifts from the Holy Spirit, as long as we maintain a right and healthy focus. Because sometimes our selfish ambition or our jealousy, those two key pieces in our sinful nature, they have a way of taking what God has intended for good, like spiritual gifts, right, and causing us to lose our focus about why God gave them to us in the first place. I want us this morning to first start by taking a look at what can happen to a heart that does just that. What happens when we lose the idea of why we're given our spiritual gifts, when we lose that perspective, and those parts of our sinful nature take over in relation to our spiritual gifts. So here comes the technology part. Any moment it's going to pop out at you.
I got you each a gift.
No way, Jesus Christ.
Well, I just love you guys, so I wanted to get you something.
So nice.
Laura, you first.
Wow, this is so exciting. Oh, will you look at this little 8-ounce can of Coke? This is perfect for me.
I looked everywhere to find a gift for you, and this just seemed to fit.
I love it.
Drew?
Yeah,
your turn.
All right. No way, Jesus. Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
20 ounces of Coke? Yeah, baby.
Woo!
This is awesome. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Laura, we gotta go show Richard our gifts. Come on.
Okay.
Hey, Laura, is there a problem?
No. I mean, well, yeah, kind of, you know. It's just that every time you give people gifts, you always give everyone else more than you give me.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, I open my gift and, oh, cute, 8 ounces. And then Drew opens his gift and, hello, 20 ounces.
Oh, I know what you mean. Well, that gift is for Drew.
Well, that's what I want. Go get it for me.
Okay, if that's what you want.
Yeah. I got a liter. I know, it's 1 liter of God's sweet goodness. Jesus gave it to me.
He did?
Yes. Okay, you know what? You're going to meet somebody with a bigger bottle, and you are going to be so mad.
Laura, check it out. I got an upgrade. Coke 3.0.
That is awesome.
I know.
Well, isn't that just great?
Yeah. Hey, Jesus, you rock.
Yeah.
Thanks,
what
Drew.
What is wrong with you? Why are you holding back your best from me?
I gave you my best. Don't you see what's happening here? You're letting everyone else's gifts steal your joy.
No, Jesus, you are stealing my joy by giving everyone else more than you give me.
Laura, I picked this gift out for you. That's what I wanted you to see.
I don't care.
Until you can look past this, all you're going to see is a can of Coke.
That's a yikes. Hard to watch sometimes, right? That's an extreme version of what it can look like in our lives. If we study spiritual gifts and we desire them, like we said, these are two good things we should do. We should want to learn about them and we should desire them. We can easily get caught up in the gifts that we want. We can easily become jealous or angry about the gifts we don't have. So how do we walk the fine line of desiring spiritual gifts and not being disappointed when we don't get what we desire? It really takes a healthy and right perspective. That means we need to recognize what the gifts are for. The gifts that we get from the Holy Spirit are not to bring us glory. They are to bring God glory. So how should we start a discussion to make sure we come at the right perspective? I'm going to suggest very simply by changing the question that we ask. The question should not be, what are my spiritual gifts? The question should be, what spiritual gifts has God given me? It's a subtle difference if you catch it. The focus is not on us and what we have. The focus is on God and what he has for us. And that's important because, as we'll see this morning, there is purpose behind the spiritual gifts that we are given. And we are not the ones who design that purpose. It's God. So we need to start from his perspective rather than our own. The subtle difference in wording causes a huge difference in our ministry because it changes our perspective. It's not about us leading God. It's about God leading us. And you might say to yourself, oh, of course I don't want to lead God. I want God to lead me. Sounds like a no-brainer, right? Who among us would stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to lead God? We wouldn't say it out loud. But what do our actions say? Are we willing to let God lead us and show us where he wants to use us? He has equipped us for a special purpose. Will we step up to that purpose and follow his plan and not the other way around? Now, there are four major sections in Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. If you're interested in studying more about the spiritual gifts, I suggest you go to those sections and really just kind of dive in. There's a lot there. They all start from the perspective of God first, his will for our lives, his plan for our lives, and living that out. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Ephesians 4, 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. It's all about God's calling you. It's all about God's will in your life. It's not about us. Every verse. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. So you can see this morning, before we start down the journey of spiritual gifts, we need to put aside our own sinful nature and know that these gifts that we desire are part of God's will and his calling for our life. We have to give up any selfish part that desires gifts for our own will or for our own glory and be ready to follow the Holy Spirit's plan for us in ministry and serving his church. So let's jump right in. Let's get down to basics. Some people say, you know what? I pretend to know what spiritual gifts are. I've heard it said a lot in the church, but really, Bucky, what are they? What are spiritual gifts? Let's take a look at what Scripture says. 1 Corinthians 12:1, the special abilities the Spirit gives us. So spiritual gifts are special abilities given to us by God. Doesn't that sound good? Sounds like superpowers, honestly, doesn't it? And it kind of is. How cool is that? God gives us superpowers. Anybody ever want superpowers as a kid? I have three boys at home that have superpowers every single day. We have some type of superpowers. Growing up as a child, I loved the Super Friends. Anybody remember the Super Friends? I went out and bought a DVD for my kids. I want them to know the Super Friends, right? Superman, Batman, Robin, Aquaman, Wonder Woman. The Wonder Twins aren't up there, but they're, the Wonder Twins are there, and the politically incorrect Apache Chief is there, and each one had their own mighty, unique power. You know, Apache Chief could clap his hands together, say some words, and he would grow 10 feet tall. He was the only one that could grow that tall. You know, Aquaman could talk to the animals. He was the only one. They each had unique gifts they were given to do the things they were supposed to do. Personally, I always wanted to fly and be invisible. Those were my superpowers of choice growing up, still kind of are. I would envision all the wonderful things that I could do with my superpowers, saving lives, being a hero, conquering the bad people, which 9 times out of 10 were my brothers, Mike and Mark. Because, you know, you can't just have superpowers and do nothing with them. You have to do stuff, right? Yes, that's part of having superpowers. The whole deal is that we use them. Who wants to watch a super show where someone's got the powers and doesn't use them? You got to use them and use them for good. On the topic of superheroes, Carrie showed us a few weeks back Uncle Ben. Ben Parker, Peter Parker's uncle, right? That great quote that he uses in Spider-Man. And he says, with great power comes great responsibility. If you are given great power, like superhero power, then you're expected to use it responsibly. Spiritual gifts, which are our superhero powers, work the same way, right? Only we don't have to be bitten by a radioactive spider. We've got, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts that we're supposed to have. And once we receive those gifts, we're expected to use them. And use them for what? 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Ephesians 4:12. Their responsibility, the gifts, that's my parentheses in there, talking about the gifts, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church and the body of Christ. So there it is, right there. That's what they're for. To serve one another, equip God's people, and build up the church. That's why we've been given superpowers, our spiritual gifts. That's what we're supposed to accomplish. So let's take a look at what type of gifts can actually accomplish these things. Again, same place we're pulling these from, those four places in Scripture. They talk about a huge list. And you'll notice up there it says, from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So even though I'm putting this list up there, it's not exhaustive. It's not every single gift that's up there. But from the list that Scripture gives us, we have an idea of the nature of gifts that the Holy Spirit equips us with. Bam. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy. That's that Romans 12 part. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers. How cool is that? Prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. Later on, same chapter, it says healings, helps, governments, diversity in tongues. Ephesians 4 talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And I wish that I could go on this morning and really talk about what each one of those are and how each one of those could look in our lives, because it's pretty exciting, some of those things, and how they look and manifest in our lives. We simply don't have the time for me to share that with you. But you can see from the list, there are amazing things we are equipped to do. As we look up there, you might immediately recognize some of those gifts that that some of our friends and family in church have. You might know someone has the gift of mercy or encouragement, because we tend to lean on those people in our lives because they almost seem to enjoy helping us when we get down in those times, right? They have a knack for helping us feel better. You might recognize someone with the gift of teaching, because who doesn't love to listen to someone that has the gift of clear teaching? Someone who can take the most complex subjects and break them down so that they're easy to understand. It's just a joy to watch it happen when people find their sweet spot where God has gifted them to work. When you find your gifting, which we'll talk about in just a minute, it's like finding the perfect chair, right? I always think of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, where she says, this chair is too hard, and that chair is too soft, and this chair is just right. Sometimes we try different jobs in the church, different ministries, and we find that, you know what? This one is too big. This one is too little. But this one is just right. Our hope and our goal in ministry is that we would find the sweet spot that God has created us to do with our gifting so that we can use those gifts to accomplish the goals that God has set out for us. You know, Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he has planned for us long ago. God created us in a specific way with specific gifts to do things that he already has planned for us to do. He knows what you need today. And so he's given you the gifts that you need to accomplish that. He knows what's coming tomorrow. He's getting you ready for tomorrow. Some of those gifts are easier to recognize than others, obviously. But as we look at the list, we can see things we might want. I mean, if we all have spiritual gifts, right? We're supposed to. When we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit gives them to us. Every believer has at least one. Some have more than one, depending on what the plan God has for us to do. If we have to have them, and we're supposed to desire them, wouldn't it be really cool if we could have wisdom or miraculous powers? Come on, miraculous powers, are you kidding me? Who wouldn't love that? Miraculous powers, wisdom. And some of you might be sitting there thinking, oh, I could care less about miraculous powers, but I tell you what, I would love to have the ability to heal, or I would love the ability to serve, or love the ability to teach. And certainly one common area in our society that people tend to want is leadership, because our culture tends to exalt leadership above everything else. This is why it's so important, though, that we need to look for confirmation within the church body to help us identify our gift. Because as we all know, sometimes we can want something so bad in our life, we pretend like it's a good fit. You know, it's like when you go to a shoe store and they only have one size left and it's your perfect shoe. And you're like, no, I can fit in a 6.5. Put it on. It's good. I like it. No, and you're really a size 9, but you're cramming your foot in there because it's pretty and it matches your dress. Or, not that that's only a female analogy at all. But, you know, sometimes we pretend like something is a good fit and it's not. But if it is truly your gifting, it will be obvious to not just you, but the people around you. And in the end, although we might think we want a particular gift, nothing is going to feel as good as finding the role that God has made you to serve in, something that no one else can do. God has gifted you uniquely to serve in this role. Nothing feels like that. There's no better feeling of knowing you are serving where God wants you. Because when we find our sweet spots, church is going to explode with effectiveness. These gifts, we know we are given to serve one another, to equip God's people, and to build the church. And if we really start using them, all of us that we are given, we're going to have a well-equipped, well-built church. And I'm not just talking about the building, I'm talking the people coming into the building. That's the church these gifts are supposed to build up, the people. Scripture gives us the analogy of the human body, right? It's called the body of Christ. It's a fantastic analogy. Like nothing in Scripture isn't fantastic. It's all fantastic. But this I really key into. This is a great analogy for me. I really respond to it. I can see it working. It's a human body. It's something I'm familiar with. Scripture says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, you know, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would it hear? And if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand can never say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And when the parts we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, then all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Well, first of all, this analogy brings us right back to what we started with. We have to approach spiritual gifts from the starting place of God and not ourselves. We are part of one body. We're not many bodies. We're not each on our own. We're one body. I mean, take a look at the human body. Do you know what makes the human body work so well? Only one head. That's it. One mind directing all the activity of the parts together. We're not dealing with the egos of the arms and the legs, right, who get the most use and have the biggest muscles. We don't have to worry about their egos. Our eyes are not personally offended when we don't use them at night because we're sleeping. I know you're making connections. That's good. There isn't jealousy and competition. Our feet aren't going to pick up and leave because they don't like what was said about them. And why is that? Because there was only one plan. And that one plan is set by the one head who directs it all. And Christ is the head of the body. Colossians 1:18. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all those who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. If we as a church body could really function in that way, place Christ first in everything that we do, place him in front of our sinful desires, our egos, our agendas, wouldn't that be amazing? Then we could really let him be the head of the church, right? We could let Christ take control. Imagine the power of the body of Christ. Can you imagine if we all found our spiritual gifts and started using us the way God uniquely made each of us to work? There wouldn't be a building big enough to hold the love or the people that would flock to a church like that. But for this to happen, we got to do some things. Number one, we've talked about it over and over again. We'll still talk about it over and over again. Start from the right place, which is God's will for our lives. Let him be the head of the body. Let him drive the bus. Whatever analogy you like and you want to use, be the pilot. Let God rule your life. We've got to actively search for our gifts, right? So we can accomplish those works which Ephesians 2:10 has told us about. This is going to involve purposeful searching, maybe even trial and error. But I think what's really important in this area is courage. Courage on our part to stick our necks out there and try something that we're not sure might be our gift, might not be our gift, right? but even more courage for those people around you. Because we might need to confirm or not confirm whether or not it is someone's gift. Again, this is healthy conversation in the body of Christ, and we can't have our egos in the way. Like we talked about the egos of the foot or the egos of the eye. That sounded ridiculous, right? I mean, come on. That's ridiculous, Bucky. If you told the foot, you're no good at handwriting, give it up, okay? You're somewhere else. You're good at walking. You can do that. That sounds silly. But when it comes to finding our own spiritual gifts, sometimes it's not so plain. It's not so easy. It's hard to have the courage in those moments, right? Your gifting is not this. Of course, we need to say that in love, not as flippant as I'm going up here talking about feet and hands, but it is still just as important for us to find our gift is to be courageous and loving towards one another in the body. Number three, got to use it. No matter what your gifts turn out to be, use them. The body is only healthy when all of its members are functioning the way they're meant to function. Romans 12, 7 through 8. If your gift is serving one another, serve them well. If your gift is to be a teacher, teach. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. Once you find your gift, do it. Be obedient to the way that Christ has made you. Don't fight him on it. Don't say, okay, it's encouraging, I get that. Maybe I could be encouraging while I'm doing this role as well. Be who God created you to be. We are crippled as a body without you functioning the way Christ intended you to function. Because once all those three things happen, we get to step number four, which is watching God do his thing. Because isn't it amazing the things that the church has done in this world? And by I say church, I mean capital C, the church in this world. All the influence that the church has had. And that's with an injured body. That's with the body that's crippled because all of its members are not functioning the way God wants them to function. Could you imagine the power of the church in this world, in this neighborhood, if we could function the way God has gifted us to function? Can you imagine what we could do if we were healthy and strong as a body? For that to happen, we have to be willing to be healthy and strong when it comes to using our spiritual gifts. We can't do it without every single person in this room who believes in Jesus Christ. We can't do it without you. We are crippled without you. We can't function properly without you. We're not a healthy body without you. God has created you to be a part of his plan, and his plan includes you. Now, don't be fooled into thinking ministry is only for professionals, for those people with schooling. It's not just for the outgoing. It's not just for the incredibly handsome, but it is for everyone. God created you with those special, unique gifts for the purpose to do those good things we talked about. Are you willing to find those good things in your life and use them once you find out what they are? Let's put practical steps behind some of these things. Talked about, right, starting from the right place, which is God. That means making God a priority in your life. We do that by spending time in God's word. It's scripture. It can be reading, memorizing, Bible studies, meditating on a verse, but be in God's word some way, somehow, every day. Put him first in your life. Making him a priority means prayer. And I don't just mean saying, hey, God, thanks for the blessings. Here's my new list, right? I don't mean last 5 minutes of every day, a few moments before we eat. I mean purposeful prayer, where we give God our full attention, where we spend time in his presence enjoying who he is. It also means coming to church. Think of all the things we make time for in our life. TV, video games, going out and being social, extra things we make time for. We have to make coming to church a priority in our lives. If the goal of this is to function in the body of Christ, then you've got to get yourself to the body of Christ, right? That's the whole part of it. Number two, we said, was finding your spiritual gifts. We already talked about trial and error, right? The whole idea with Goldilocks, trying out a couple of things, that's part of it. Finding something that's a good fit for you. You don't have to commit a whole year's worth to it. If you think you're going to try something, maybe say, I'm going to try it for a month. Maybe that's going to be a good fit for me. A really popular idea that people do all the time now is trying spiritual gift inventories. And we had the blessing of having Karen run us through a seminar, which... maybe sometime in the future, she'll have the schedule to do that again. Would love to have that. She gave us this great resource, churchgrowth.org/analysis/intro.php. If you enter that in, it's a free service where you can go online and find your spiritual gifts, right? find one, and see where you land. That's a great place to start the whole trial and error thing. I'd like to just also put in a word here for those of you that have been Christians for years, and those of you that have taken these inventories in the past, because I have seen many times, actually I've experienced it myself, where God equips us differently than maybe we thought we were equipped. In other words, God might grow one area of our life stronger in this phase of our life than he did before. Perhaps something is going on at Northside, right? Something's going on right now, and he's going to equip you for it in a different way. Don't get stuck in thinking, this is my gift, this is what I do. I took the inventory years ago, right? I got confirmation from with the body. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I am a small group leader. I'm the sound tech guy. That's what I do. No. Make checking in with God a part of your regular prayer time with him. He's the head, remember? The head might need you in a different place. You never know. But be open and willing to whoever God is serving right now. We know the things that are happening in our church. Got new things happening all the time. We know God's going to equip one of us to do it or to serve in that area. Ask, is it me? Is this my place? Are you shaping my life differently right now? And then look for confirmation from Wintamati. That's that part that's courageous on both our parts. Step number three was use your gifts. Once we find out our gift, you have to serve. We know that, right? I actually want to talk more about the other side of that coin, though. We've already talked about serving God as he's gifted us, as opposing to what God, what we want to serve and what we deem as successful or important, but giving all that up for God to do what he wants. But I also want us to be aware, some of you have heard this before, that we should not use our spiritual gifts as an excuse not to serve. You might have heard someone say this before. You say, you know what? I could really, really use your help in this particular area. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not my gift. I can't do it. You know, there might be times in a church. Some of you are laughing because you said it. I know. Don't pretend like you haven't. I don't know if I've said it myself. I might have said it. I've definitely been tempted to say it many times. But in a church our size, you know, we might need to fill in a role here or there. And again, we don't have to lock it into a year. We don't have to lock it in for 6 months, but maybe God needs to use you here for now, even though he's gifted you somewhere else. Sure, you're a fantastic teacher, but someone's got to, you know, stack the chairs. Someone's got to work the spin art booth at, you know, at the carnival. They might need you to do a role like that. I would say this is especially important when we're talking about those areas that are part of our core values. Children's ministry, community outreach, we might need to serve. And step number four, watching God do his thing. Those of you that were here last week, we saw God do his thing, which is bring people to be loved. It was exciting and funny, frankly, to watch. It was exciting. I see new people here this week. God has a plan for us. It's exciting stuff. This is a church that God is working in right now. He is actively bringing people. He's running just fun things here for us to serve with him, right? Remember that movie, the cheesy Kevin Costner movie? Was it Kevin Costner? It was Field of Dreams, right? What was that? James Earl Jones had that great voice. He said the little spooky line you heard over and over again, if you build it, it will come, right? I feel as though, you know, after last week's service, Northside, I feel as though God is saying, if you'll be the church, I'll bring him to you. You know? And they, those people that God brings to us, are going to be part of the plan Ephesians 2:10 was talking about. They are going to be the good works that God has prepared us to do, to partner alongside us, to support them, to serve them, to build up the church through them. That's the role he has for us in the church, but we have to be ready, right? He's going to bring them to us. He's going to equip us for it, but we've got to make the action part of that happen. Northside, let us prepare ourselves to serve. Let us place God first in our lives. Use our gifts he has given us to serve one another, to equip his people, and to build up his church so that we can be the church that he created us to be. This is an exciting time in our church. Let's be excited about it. Let's go to him in prayer. God, I know you have a plan for every single person sitting in this room right now. Your word tells us that truth. We know you have created us in a specific way, with a specific gift to serve each other and your church. And some of us right now are sitting in here, God, going, is this it? Is this the prompting? Is this your sign to me, God? Yes, it is. Lord, help us to remove any barriers that keep us from doing that, whether it's pride or sinful nature, misplaced priorities. Sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it's fear. Whatever it is, God, that keeps us from those good works you've made us to do, help us, Father, to put you first above all those things. Help us to follow you in the plan that you have given us through your Holy Spirit, wherever you may lead, into the lives of others for your glory, to serve one another in your name. Lord, you didn't come to this earth to serve, but to serve. How much more should we be ready to serve? Help us, Father, to find and use the gifts that you have given us for that purpose. Wherever you lead, we will trust you. We know that you have equipped us for it, God. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.